ladies, if your husband come up with some silly excuse not to come to church tomorrow and next week, make a hog tie, drag him in here. Okay, turn your Bible to the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, please. 5:21. And some of the single ladies thinking, this is not for me. Someday you get married, this verse is for you. Not very long ago, I was asked to officiate the wedding for a young man whom I know. And he said he wants to marry this young lady. So I said, sure, why not? I knew that both of them are unbelievers, so I told them, let's do the premarital counseling. So we did one time. It was a special occasion. It was a one-time thing. Anyway, they came over to my home, and we did a premarital counseling. And the reason why I did that is, of course, I want to tell them about the original design of marriage from God to people. At the same time, I want to tell them about the Jesus Christ. I never refused the opportunity to talk to people about Jesus Christ. Anyway, at the end of the counseling session, I asked them if they elected to receive Jesus Christ. They said yes, but I don't think they meant it. Anyway, another thing that I asked them, do you have any particular wedding vow you'd like me to use? They said, they looked at each other's, no. So I said, do you want me to use a traditional one? And they said, yeah, traditional one is fine. So I prepared a wedding message. And day before the wedding, I went to the wedding location for the wedding rehearsal. It was a late afternoon. We all stood prom and proper and start to have my groom to repeat after me. And he did. And I turned to the bride and repeat after me. And she started to do so. And for example, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, to obey and submit to you. This young lady did not like that portion at all. To obey and to submit to you. You know what she did? She stopped me. And she asked me, can you take that out or change it? So I said, no, it's according to the Bible. If the looks could kill, I would be dropped dead on that spot. You're talking about, you know woman's look, you know that, right? Yeah, just like that one. I just got one. Anyway, I came home and we managed to finish the rehearsal. I came home and about 3 hours later, I got a phone call from the bridegroom. He was so apologetic and embarrassed and he said, JK, my fiance wants to use her uncle who's a Catholic priest instead of you. In other words, I was fired because she didn't want to obey and submit to her husband. I feel sorry for that marriage already. Because I wouldn't be surprised if they go through divorce in some time in future. I hope they don't. I hope and pray that they will never go through that. But if they go through, I wouldn't be surprised. Because she doesn't want to obey and submit to her husband as God intended marriage. This section of Paul's letter to the believers of Ephesus pushes buttons. I mean big buttons. Especially those who have a feminist idea or have been victims of verbal and physical abuse by their cruel and abusive husband, who often use these verses from the Bible out of context. I almost feel like I'm walking through the minefield now. If those abusive husbands want to use the Bible as to set up their authority, they should follow the rest of the Bible, as Jesus said. Go to the Matthew. Keep your finger in Ephesians. Go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, please. Let's see what Jesus says about treating other people. Matthew 7, the first book of the New Testament. Knowing you guys, you know exactly where to go. So we're going to go fast. Matthew 7, 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophet. Okay, turn to right. Go to John chapter 13, please. John chapter 13. Verse 34. Jesus speaking again. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. He says, you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. He repeats again. Do you find anywhere in this portion Jesus said, except in marriage? You can treat everyone, love one another, good, but except in marriage. You can treat your wife, your husband, like a trash. No, it doesn't. Let's see what the Lord speaks to us through Apostle Paul, and we are going to study the verse 21, even though we studied the verse 21. Go back to the verse 21. Submitting to what? One another in the fear of God. See, this verse 21 is overall theme for the next few sections. Talking to wife, talking to husband, and talking to children, chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, and then talking to the employer, that is master, employees, that is slaves in this case, and in chapter 6, verse 5 through 9. The key thought here is one another in the fear of God. One another in the fear of God. God's way of submission does not have a selfishness, conceit, competition, pulling rank, domination, or dishonor. Our Lord Jesus Christ modeled that for us in Matthew chapter 20. Again, keep your finger there and go to Matthew 20, please. Matthew 20, verse 28. You there yet? Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life ransom for many. Do you see how important understanding everything in context? If we remove this portion, chapter 5, verse 21 in Ephesians, and just take that verse 22 only, yes, we can abuse our wives. But if you keep everything in context, you will not do that. Now, let's go to verse 22 in Ephesians. We just memorized that. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Apostle Paul gives this two command for two reasons. Number one, the lordship is lordship of Christ in verse 22. And second one is the headship of a man in Christ in the first portion of the verse 23. When Christian wives submit herself to Christ and let him be the Lord of her life, and she will have no difficulty submitting to her own husband. This does not mean that she becomes a slave or doormat. Because her husband also submit himself to Christ. If both of them living under the lordship of Jesus Christ, there can be only harmony, no abuse. Get this, guys. Headship is not dictatorship. You follow? Headship is not dictatorship. This word, submit, hupotasso, as we learned last week in Greek word, this in military term is meaning the arranging the troop division in a military fashion under the command of a leader. But in non-military term, in civilian term, it was voluntary attitude of giving in and cooperating and assuming responsibility. Ladies, you are submitting to your husband because the Lord put your husband as the head of your family and give him more responsibility and more accountability. That means he is more accountable to God. You don't want that accountability, or no, you don't want that responsibility. If he fouls up, he's on his own. Not because you are any less or inferior in comparison with him. What am I talking about? God created everything, and he said, good, 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 until he created man. He said, it's not good. And he came up with a man, woman. It's not good for man to be alone. That's what the Lord said. Our God is not gender biased God at all. Some of you ladies thinking, okay, preacher, you found the one verse mentioned in Ephesians about the submitting to God. But what about the other places in the Bible? Well, I'm glad you're thinking that way. So for your convenience, I posted this. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit to your own husband. Got that? And 1 Peter 3:1, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband. Do you get the picture? Do you get the picture here? God wants you to be submissive to your husband. Submitting to your husband should not be taken to mean that the wives should be doormat, as I said, allowing husband to walk all over them. Nor do they have to be silent slaves who wordlessly carry out their husband's order. Absolutely not. It means wives are to willingly support the husband's leadership, not interfering or undermining him, especially in front of your children. In front of your children. They are to be active participants in the challenging task of running Christian home. They are to do everything they can encourage and support their husband's leadership in the home. When the husband is in error, even in outright sin, it is wife's responsibility to lovingly confront him and pointing him back to the lordship of Jesus Christ as the ultimate authority. The Christian husband and wife should pray together and spend time in the Word together, and so that they may know the God's will for their individual lives and for their home. Most of the marital conflict I have dealt with as a pastor to have stemmed from the failure of the husband and wife spending time in the Word and praying together to the Lord and finding out the will of God. And they demand each other, I want this, I want, what about me, what's in for me? No wonder why you have the marriage is going down the drain. This explains the Christian should marry the Christian, not become unequally yoked with unbelievers, as it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. If you're not married, don't ever, ever think that you should marry an unbeliever because he's a good-looking, dark, and tall, and handsome. And he's funny. You'll get tired of that quickly. This explains why that we have to follow the words. I can almost hear some of you ladies thought, oh, I'm married to the heathen. Oh, I married a semi-heathen. What do? Dump him? No. Let's see what the Lord God says. Keep your finger there and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, please. By the way, one time when we were attending Calvary Tucson, Pastor Al is the one who shoved me into the prayer room. He said, go help them, they're running out of counselors. So I went in, and this lady says, I want to divorce my husband. He said, why? He said, he's an unbeliever. Okay, does he want to live with you? She said, yes, you cannot divorce him. I don't like it, so it doesn't matter how you like it. I showed her the verse. She cried, she left. A few months down the road, I saw her again, without a ring. In other words, she did whatever she wanted to do. Do you know why I asked you to guys raise your hand and remind yourself, this is the final authority. You get it? People ignore this thing and they do whatever they want to do. It's like, why you serve God if you're not going to follow Him? Boggles my mind. Verse 13, a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, what does it say? Let her divorce him. Just kick him out of the house. No, it said it. Let her not divorce him. In the last portion of verse 22, the scripture says, as to the Lord in God's instruction for wives. Sadly, some men twist this portion as if they are the Lord. No. If you ever think that, and I'm sure if you've been thinking that, you would not, okay, I'm the one who is. You're not God. Okay, just a kind of rude awakening for you. You are not God. You are not triune God. You are not Jesus Christ. So this does not apply to you. They do it. The woman would be submissive to you because she's doing unto the Lord. Not because you are the Lord. Verse 23 this time. As also Christ is the head of church and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as a church is a subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. If a husband loves to sacrifice himself for the sake of his wife, as Christ did for us, then his wife will joyfully and love and sacrifice herself for him in return, as the church does for Jesus. Now, some of us may have cast this weary glance to this word, toward in everything. Now, we have to be careful not to overstate this biblical teaching on authority. If husbands misuse their God-given authority, for example, commanding God, what God forbids, or forbidding what commands, then the wife's duty is no longer conscientiously to submit, but to conscientiously to refuse to do so. You follow? For to submit to such circumstances would be to disobey God. Here's a simple principle for you. Wife must submit to her husband right to the point where the obedience to human authority would involve the disobedience to God. All right, since we talked about the theological things, let's talk about practical things, ladies. And the guy's thinking, okay, woman, listen up. Like I said, your turn is coming next week. First one is respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, and can you hear the song coming up? For your hearing protection, I will not sing that. Go to verse 33, please, chapter 5, verse 33. Let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Let the wife see that she, what? Respects her husband. Guys, ladies, you really cannot say that you submit to your husband if you don't respect him in words and actions. You are not married to a child. Ladies, you are not married to a child. So don't treat him like one of your children. You married to a man whom you deeply in love, and I hope that you have the same depth. An objection might come up from some of you, but my husband is so childish and so selfish. Okay, here's a secret weapon for you. Tattle on him to God in your prayer. Okay? He can change him a whole lot better than you can. However, expect that he will start to change you as well. And one more caution. Don't try to change your husband unless he's on diaper. It just makes a miserable mess. Second thing, be careful what to say about your husband. Be careful how and what you say about your husband. Late Ruth Graham, wife of evangelist Billy Graham, who was married to, she married to him for over 60 years. There's a picture of them. Once she said, "It is God's job to keep Billy humble. It's my job to love him." How true. There are too many Christian wives who think that it is their God-given duty and job to keep the husband humble and even belittle them. Guess what? God never give you that job. You know, I hear this kind of thing in front. They wives talk bad about their husband right in front of me. It's like, come on, woman, think before you say that kind of thing. Let's make an example. When someone says nice thing about your husband, please don't cut him down or belittle him. And then you say, "I was just kidding, sweetheart." If you're thinking that it's good, that it will cover up everything, you're wrong. And probably you're thinking, "Oh, come on, preacher, have some sense of humor." All right, let's put it this way. Your husband's friend, or even your friend, saw you in a new dress. So he or she said, "Wow, you look great in that dress." And your husband is standing next to you. And he says, "No, she doesn't look good in that dress. She looked like a fat cow." Okay, do you still think that that's a joke? And he says, "I was joking, sweetheart." That means war, right, ladies? Somebody gonna die that day, or somebody gonna live in the doghouse for the next 5 years. If you think that's not funny, why would you say that to your husband? Am I making sense? For this matter, I'm gonna just go upside. This is not about husband and wife. If you're gonna make a joke and belittle somebody, do it to yourself. Self-deprecation joke is acceptable. Never use somebody else at that person's expense, make a laugh out of it. I'm sure you've been in the receiving end of that. Was it funny? No, it wasn't funny. But we think that's funny, so we make a joke at somebody's expense. Please don't do that. When was the last time, ladies, when was the last time you gave a good, honest, hearty praise to your husband? If you have to think for some time, you're well overdue. Husband, watch your elbow now. Please look for the good things that your husband does, even though he may not meet your high standards. You will be surprised how much your husband, when he's pumped up and looking for next good things to please you. I heard a story. Young couple. She got into his truck. She was looking for something. She found this little black book. "What's this?" She opened it up. It was some sort of the memo book. and there was a date, and her name was there, that particular date, and Tracy said, "I'm right." You know what it means? Because she criticized me all the time, "You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong," and one particular day, she said, "You're right." He wrote it down that day. Tracy said, "I'm right." Don't do that to your husband. Thirdly, don't be historical. Exhaust the man who had another argument with his wife the night before he came to work. His co-worker could tell he had a rough night. So they asked him, "Are you okay?" And he said, "Whenever my wife and I argue, she doesn't become hysterical, she becomes historical." Ladies, if your husband sincerely had asked you to forgive his sins or mistake, and you forgave him for it, please move on. Do not bring it back to haunt him or bash him over and over and over. Aren't you glad and our gracious and merciful God does not remind us of your previous sins each time you come to Him in prayer? I'm so glad He said, "Okay, you are forgiven, forgotten, cast into the sea of forgetfulness." At the same time, I must say this, authority of husband is, in biblical sense, is not synonym for tyranny. Gentlemen, if you are being abused, ladies, if you are being abused physically or verbally, especially physically, and you know someone who is being physically abused, you don't need to take it. Contact authority. That person, if the husband will continue, abusive husband will continue to be abusive as long as you let him. You need to contact sheriff department or police department. Now, this time, I hope none of you fit into this thing. If you are abusive husband, I'm going to make it very clear to you. You are a coward. The reason why you're abusive and you're physically hurting your wife because you know that she cannot hit you back and strong enough to protect herself from you. You want the sparring partner? Come see me. I'll give you sparring. I'll make sure that you will think twice about hurting your wife again. And you're thinking, "That's not nice as a pastor." Oh, yeah. Three applications. Number one, wife, submit to her husband in order to bring what? Honor to God. Number two, submitting to her husband requires a respect of him from her heart. Every wife either can build a home or tear it down. If she walk with the Lord, she will be a builder. If she disobey his wisdom, she will be a destroyer. Go to Proverbs chapter 14, please. Proverbs 14, verse 1. The wise woman build her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. There you go. Third application. Wife must submit to her husband right up to the point where the obedience to human authority would involve disobedience to God. Making sense? All right, let's stand up and take a communion.